call to order. Dr. Marlowe, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board consideration and adoption of the agenda. Do we have a motion? A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Roll call, please.
President Adonisio?
Here.
Trustee Winston?
Here.
Trustee Christensen?
Here.
Trustee Brick?
Here.
Trustee Bryson?
Here.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Here.
Trustee Palazzo?
Here. I am now reporting out on closed session. Item 29C, the board voted 5-0 with Lopez Maddox and Winston absent to accept the recommendation of the staff on student expulsions A1 and A2. With regard to item 29F, a public employee appointment and employment, we are pleased to announce and welcome these new principals, Mr. Joe McCann to Chaparral Elementary, Ms. Shelley Kurtz to Bathgate, and Ms. Debbie Culbertson to Moulton Elementary. If you would stand, please, we welcome you as principals of our elementary schools. Welcome to the ranks of the principals, and good luck. We move now to oral communications. I have three cards, and each person has 3 minutes each this evening, if you care to use that. If you would approach the podium in front and address the board. First, Mr. Tony Hoover, followed by Deborah Qualtieri and Vita Cantacese. Mr. Hoover.
Superintendent, board, Tony Hoover, 12-year resident at San Juan Capistrano, three children in the Capistrano School District, graduating senior this year, and two at San Juan Hills High School. I'm here to ask the board. I'm also the head coach of lacrosse at San Juan Hills High and vice president of the Athletic Boosters. I'm here to ask the board to put on the agenda for next month the completion of our stadium. We only have a visitor's side. We need to complete the home side so that we can have home games. As of this year in the fall, we will not have home football games for the third year. And I would like my son, who is in the first graduating class of 2011, to have 1 year of home games at the stadium. Right now, in my estimation, I think if you said tomorrow to go ahead with it, it takes 6 months. So we're looking at February of 2010. Which would be a great thing because then we could use it in the summer, next summer to get youth football, youth soccer, band competitions, which makes money for the district and those clubs. So I've got a letter asking that, and I would really appreciate if you'd consider that next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Qualtieri, followed by Ms. Cantacese.
Good evening, members of the board. I'm sure I do not look familiar to any of you, but I am just one of the many employees that work for you. I have been attending these board meetings on a regular basis for over a year now and feel that I can no longer just sit here and remain quiet. I am a supervisor for the Food and Nutrition Department and have been so for the last 6 years. I do not know if you, as our employers, are aware of it or not, but our department is self-funded. In other words, we as a department have never encroached on the district's general fund as other departments do. We actually contribute to the fund. We as a department pay all of our own expenses, such as salaries, benefits, new equipment, equipment, equipment repair, operating supplies, fuel for the vehicles we purchased, and yes, even at times, labor costs for other departments. As a department, I have never seen such loyal, hardworking, and dedicated employees. Our department is made up of a very efficient but slim management team who oversees about 285 employees over the 56 school sites. Since I am a part of CUMA, which used to consist of about 260 certified and classified managers, but now has 150, I have seen it almost cut in half over the last 6 years, but never as much as this year, where management seems to be dropping off like flies. When CUMA came to you as board members and announced that we were willing to give up 5 furlough days to help out with the budget crisis, I believed in my heart that you would have received that as a true and dedicated gesture. But instead, you saw it as an opportunity to come back and reward us by taking a permanent 5.5% pay reduction on top of adding an additional 7 furlough days, which is a total of 12. I must congratulate all of you, though, because I believe your intent from day one was to eliminate as many management positions that you could and to make it difficult for the remaining. It appears you have had your own agendas from day one and are implementing them one by one. I do not know if your intent was to create havoc in the district and to eliminate all the wonderful and hardworking, dedicated employees that you are certainly succeeding. I have to wonder if there is any more good and responsible people who would want to come and work in this district. But you continue to eliminate the management team. I have to ask, who will manage the workers now? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cantacuzzi.
Good evening. I just want to say that I have been a community member and a parent here in this district for over 22 years. I've been to many board meetings in the old Thornsley building. We've gone through more superintendents and interim superintendents than I've lost count of. I do want to say to this board of trustees that I know you had a very difficult task in the last 6 months. And I know some of you are not happy about some of the decisions that have been made, but I would like to suggest to you the following, is to put on to the next agenda fundraising for the programs that we have now in place, 25-1 for first grade, and block music. Fundraising worked for those of you who were not here as either trustees or Dr. Mahler or Dr. Sunaka and even Mr. Lebs and different district personnel that may not be aware of this, but for 3 different years, 2003, 2004, we raised $1 million for CSR in 3 weeks. In 2007 and 8, and then again in 8 and 9, we raised another $1 million for each of those years in 3 months. Last year, Stacy Flynn, as part of this CUSD Foundation, indicated that this was going to be a 2-year program. For some reason, the 2008-09 program or 2009-10 program suddenly didn't happen at all. We lost an opportunity to raise at least $1 million. And that happened, we don't know why. People kept calling up the foundation, and all they kept saying is, we're waiting for direction from the district. We are empowered, we are a force to be reckoned with here. The parents in this community want programs, and we're willing to put up the money, the energy, the talent, whatever it takes to do it. You deprived us of that opportunity, and $1 million at least. I know we're in hard economic times, but that doesn't mean people would not have supported their children, which is what this is all about. We are in the education business. They would have supported it. They would have done things that helped the community. I got a flyer today from a restaurant in my community that is saying, hey, if you would like to schedule a fundraiser for your charity or school, now is the time to do it as fall is approaching. There was a lady that a couple of times back that talked about Honda who'd give a car to donate as a raffle. The community is willing to work work with you. Please put this on the agenda for next time to give your blessing, so to speak. Let us raise to save the programs that we can and raise as much money as we can for block music and to keep at least 25 to 1 in first grade here on out. That's all we're asking. You're cutting us short by not giving us this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
We move on now to our consent calendar. Trustee Bryson, did you have a comment to make, one comment?
Yes, I just wanted to let everyone know, because of the interest in so many children have in science and the interest that parents have in engaging their children in science, that at the Orange County Fair, they have a very fascinating for children yet very accurate scientifically, and it's called Weird Al's Brain. And if you have a son or daughter in our district that is interested in science, I heartily recommend that you take them to see this 3D film, which is scientifically accurate about neurons in the brain, but it gets it across in a very amusing and interesting way. And children who you would like to encourage in the realm of science, I think, would benefit from it greatly. So I saw it, and I think your children would really enjoy it.
Thank you. We move on to the consent calendar. The consent calendar includes items 1 through 21. Do we have any board member who has to pull an item? I will pull item number 2. Item 19, please. Item 2 and 19.
Yes.
Any others? Do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar with the exception of items 2 and 19?
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Yes.
President Adonisio?
Aye. The motion carries on consent 7-0. I take item number 2, and I'm looking for a motion to approve this, and simply I was not in attendance, so I would abstain from that vote. So do we have a motion to approve item number 2, Mr. Trustee Winston, and seconded by Trustee Bryson? A roll call, please.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Should I abstain since yes. I also was not at the meeting?
Yes.
I'll abstain.
Okay. Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Yes.
Trustee Adonisio?
I abstain. So we move on then to item number 19.
Yes, I have some questions that I would like answered publicly for our constituents to understand. Obviously, Ms. Suenaka shouldn't be answering. Is there Superintendent Mahler, perhaps? Would you be kind enough to answer my questions? I have had more than one constituent call and concern in these times that we were raising someone's pay who had just come on board when the parents are very concerned about our funding in the classroom. Apparently, a lot of them were unaware of the fact that this is to increase a 14-day contract to a regular month. Can you explain that to our constituents and to me, please? And can you also explain why the contract did not have that provision in it in the beginning?
I was not here at the time that Naomi Suenaka was hired. I read her contract. I don't know how that contract happened to be. However, it clearly states in that contract that she is only working part-time. And I would say it's probably in the vicinity of about 15 days worth of a contract. We are not raising her pay. We are adding days so that someone is here to do the work that needs to be done to be hiring staff, to be making assignments, to be doing all of the types of personnel things, especially now that we have new budgetary constraints, we need the brains-on, hands-on assistance. It is more days, not higher money per day.
Would you say that at this time we are at a minimal staffing level in administration?
Daily, I find out that we have less and less administration, which causes those who remain to be doing the jobs of two, three, and four people.
Would you agree with the comment that the lady made that there needs to be someone to do the work?
I brought my button.
You brought your button. Okay. I think that at this point I can say that I at least understand. I know that Trustee Brick had questions, so I'll remove myself from the floor so that he can ask those. Thank you.
Thank you. I, one, look at the people in the straits that we're in currently in a fiscal basis, and to increase somebody by the amount of $4,000 per month is a lot. And if somebody said, well, we are trying to get caught up, I think we have to do more with what we have. If you expand from private industry, if you expand beyond your contract, that's your problem. That's your problem. We don't make them whole subsequently. If you do a better job of negotiation, there's no need to have a contract if, in fact, they can walk after not meeting the requirement. So, again, I'm not in support of this. I shared it with Superintendent. No way for me.
Any other comments? Do we have a motion on this item? I move approval.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Brick?
No.
Trustee Bryson?
No.
Trustee Palazzo?
Yes.
Trustee Christensen?
Sorry.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
No.
Trustee Winston?
No.
President Adnesio?
Aye. The motion fails 4-3. The item remains as it is at 14 hours or whatever that is. As written, we move on now to discussion action. Item number 22, Board Bylaw Revision. Any comments by the board? Trustee Christensen?
Yes, I don't care particularly myself whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. My main concern is as far as what's most convenient for the constituents. There's a couple things. One of the reasons that it was said to move till Monday, I mean to Tuesday instead of Monday, is because there could be conflict with holidays. Well, I'm not aware of any board meeting being set on a holiday anyway, so I don't think that's really a particular reason. Perhaps I'd like to get a better understanding as to why it's being proposed for Tuesday. Like I said, it really doesn't matter to me that much. There was one thing that came up, whereas if it was put on Tuesday, the 72-hour notice would mean that possibly the packets might not go out to the public until Saturday instead of Friday, and this could be a problem for the public. But I just need a little more information on it.
I'm happy to provide. Oh, did you want to call on me?
Yes.
I'm happy to answer that. First of all, the most important part of what you're asking is about the packets. Our board receives their packets a week in advance. That is when the public receives the same packet via electronic mail. We go way beyond the 72 hours. As far as the constituents, I did look at all of the meetings that the cities hold. And there are two cities which have Monday night meetings, and there are two cities which have Tuesday night meetings on the same nights that our board meetings usually occur. So in terms of people who would like to go to a whole variety of meetings, maybe we're providing a new opportunity for some residents to go to other meetings that didn't have that opportunity on Monday nights. One of the reasons that I have put this on the agenda is that we have very few horses to pull this cart, and all of us are working all weekend to have Monday meetings, whereas maybe we could get a Sunday off if we have it on Tuesday. We also have one of our few members that are left is going to be taking a doctorate course, and it's on Monday nights.
Well, I would just like to add that I know the legal requirement is the 72 hours, and though we do receive ours and the public gets it a week in advance, I'd just like to have some sort of a security that if we put this on Tuesday, that somewhere down the line we're not going to go to the minimum required 72 hours.
We can do that by a policy change. There are many ways we can do that. As long as I'm here, you can take my word for it.
We're recorded. Okay, thank you.
Trustee Lopez-Maddox.
Okay. I certainly appreciate the points made by the superintendent. That was one of the reasons I suggest we bring somebody on to help assist her in her duties while she's doing her doctoral program. However, the board majority decided that my idea did not merit action. However, that being said, that when I went for this office, it was in full knowing that the meetings were on Monday evenings and I would be able to make the meetings given that they were on Monday evenings. I have another job obligation which has its meetings on Tuesday evenings.
There's Wednesday and Thursday.
They typically run multiple days. They don't fall on Mondays. Monday's typically a travel day. I was able to make some changes today. I don't know when they're going to take effect, which will hopefully afford me the opportunity now to have Tuesdays. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there because I know as soon as I start meeting Tuesdays, it's, well, why did you support this? How dare you? Didn't you know what you were getting into? And there'd be all sorts of people ready to throw stones. So I'll be voting no. If the board wants to go ahead and do it, I won't be greatly troubled by it, but I would request that perhaps a sunset be placed on this so that it's automatically revisited at the end of 2010 so we can reevaluate whether or not this is working.
Trustee Winston.
Thank you. Tuesday happens to work well for lots of parents since Mondays are historically Cub Scout and Boy Scout meeting nights. I think that the constraints of Mr. Maddox that he's raised are very important, and we are not going to disenfranchise the people who voted for Trustee Maddox, and perhaps what is prudent right now would be to continue this over and stay Monday nights for some period of time until you sort things out with your own employment situation, and we can see if we can bring this back for a vote when you have some clarity on that. That aside, I agree with Trustee Christensen. I'd like to add to the board policy that at least 72 hours prior to a regular meeting, but in no event no later than Friday at 4 o'clock, whatever makes sense, in advance of a meeting, that everything go public, just so we have a track record of it for the future, because not everybody who's here tonight will be here in 3 or 4 years, and so we should have some clarity on that, and I think it's a good suggestion, and we should implement that as a formal board policy. So I think as much as I want to support the higher education of our colleague, we need to first support the ability of an elected trustee to attend our meetings. So I think we need to sort that out before we do anything.
Trustee Bryson?
I wasn't aware that Trustee Maddox would have a problem, although for those of us who work full-time in the government arena, I'm fully aware of the constraints of those things. However, I also am very sympathetic to the needs of the staff to have maybe that one more day to prepare, and for the advancement in higher education is important to our staff, too. So I think Trustee Maddox said it pretty well, too. If he can sort it out, could there be a sunset? I like that idea of revisiting it in 1 year once he gets himself sorted out with this, because, frankly, for the tiny staff that we're operating with right now, it would be a help, and it would be good for everyone to have time to relax a little bit before they jump back in, because we're facing a lot more coming, no doubt. So
if we had known that Mr. Maddox was not, Lopez Maddox was not able to do that, we wouldn't have proposed it.
Yes, I'm sure that's true, and that that makes it difficult for, I would like to vote yes on this, frankly, but that makes it difficult until he sorts himself out.
Trustee Christensen?
Well, I guess my question really is for Trustee Lopez Maddox, and whether or not you would know within a month or we could just table this until the next meeting.
If I might, I'm working with our HR department and augmenting my own staff, so that would afford me the opportunity to be here on Tuesday nights. However, things are very fluid. This is at the earliest stages, so I can't give you a definite response. I was saying, if you want to move forward with this tonight, we'll be with mild heartburn on my end. But because I think I'm going to be successful in this, and that's the only reason I raise it. However, I would just request that a sunset be placed upon it so we could revisit it at the end of 2010 automatically.
Are you moving then approval with a sunset at the end of 2010?
No, lest I be wrong, I'll be voting no on this when we go ahead and call the vote. But like I said, it's only with a mild amount of heartburn that it moved forward. I would appreciate that if somebody were to make the motion of the sunset, that would make me feel a lot more comfortable with it moving forward this evening.
I'll make the motion to move to put this over then.
Are you moving to amend or put it over?
I don't know if it's made a motion yet. I'm moving to put it over until Trustee Maddox knows one way or another what his constraints are going to be. And if that, can you make the July 28th meeting if that is a Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday.
Right. So perhaps we go ahead with a special meeting that night, but keep the regularly scheduled meetings on Mondays, but we'll revisit this as soon as we can.
If I might, I think I'm going to be able to make the July 28th, because just the days, things are falling, so hopefully we'll have an answer, but I can have an answer to you by then.
There's a motion then to carry this over to the 28th.
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-1 to table this item to the 28th. Madam President, Madam Chair. Yes.
I have already alerted staff that I did want constituents and you to know. I regrettably, because of a National Canadian Treasurers meeting, I will be in an airplane that night. And there, it has been locked in for a very long time. So I can't even attend the normal way to call in, which I regret very much. Thank you.
Item 23, therefore, would also be carried over, as that provides for the absolute date, so we'll carry that one over as well. Do we have a motion to carry that over? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. 7-0, the motion is carried to the 28th. Item number 24, reinstatement of program services for non-management personnel. Ms. Suwanaka. Do we have any comments by the board? Questions? Do we have a motion to approve the reinstatement of program services? Second?
Second.
Further discussion? There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0 on the reinstatement of program services for certificated non-management personnel. We move on now to item number 25. Classified layoff, non-management employees, resolution 0910-02. Do we have a motion to approve the staff recommendation? Was that you, Mr. Lopez? Any further comments by the board? All in favor say aye. I beg your pardon. This is a roll call. I beg your pardon.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
Trustee Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
President Adonisio.
Aye. The resolution carries 7-0. We move on now to item number 26. Item number 26 is an update on the DSA project listing. Does anyone have any questions or comments on this item? Item number 27. 27. One moment, I'm missing it from my paper here. Board policy. Board policy 3544, use of school bus passenger restraint system. Mr. Forney.
Right. Well, I'm glad you saw it. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't see it. Sorry.
That's all right. I guess I'm a little disappointed that these are not moving forward faster than what is happening, in that we didn't receive an account last month on these either, because I know we had asked that these would be a monthly report as far as what's being closed. I guess my question to you would be, after you've looked at these and have been intimate with most of them, I'm assuming, what do you think is going to be the outside timeline on completing all of these?
That's a tough question to answer. DSA, I continuously work with them. You know, they deal with the whole state. They won't give me a time frame when they're going to close stuff out. They're backlogged. Priority is for them to get current projects that they have moved out so that projects can get built. The reason I didn't bring anything last month is because we didn't really have any changes. You know, but I'll bring them every month, but you're not going to see a lot of changes from month to month. They're very slow.
Well, a couple of in the last few months have been closed out. Mm-hmm. And so what is the timing from the time you submit it?
Well, a lot of them,
they are closed.
A lot of them, if you see when they were submitted, were back in December. So they're 6 months.
So you're looking at a half a year.
Yeah, they could take up to 6 months or longer. And a lot of them on the first page that I gave you that are closed without certification, that's due to a lot of these projects, certain scopes of work were not completed by the district. So I'm going back, that's the tedious part, to see, okay, what can get closed out? You know, is certain things didn't get inspected? We're double checking some inspections, so it's just very timely.
Well, I guess my last question would be, are you aware of any of them that you were about to submit for closure to the state?
The latest ones that we're compiling the information is the San Clemente Upper Campus that we finished, the science conversion. We're gathering the documents. That'll be next to be submitted. And the latest things we've submitted to DSA, it's not for closeout, but for the Dana Hills Theater and the Capitol Valley Theater has been submitted to DSA for review. As far as the first page, the closed out, we're still compiling the paperwork to get submitted to them. So none of these have been submitted, the ones that say closed without certification, just right. the second and third page.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have any more comments on 27?
I beg your pardon. 26.
27, the regular straight 27, is a second reading on the proposed board policy 3544, school bus passenger restraint system. Trustee Christensen.
I guess my question is, since we're using hardly any of the buses anymore, my assumption would be that we're using buses that are already manufactured after 2004. If that's not the case, I guess I question why are we having this presented for us to updating the buses that are prior to 2004.
Could you please come forward?
Hi. Ed Code has, we have to have it, we have to have a board policy for Ed Code. We have special ed buses that have seat belts now, and we're doing what the policy says. If your question was about the regular buses, none of them have seat belts.
Okay, but at this point on the special ed buses, are they already supplied with them? So
yes.
We're giving a policy, essentially that's it. We're not really retrofitting anything at this point.
No, we're not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments? Trustee Winston?
So basically, we need a policy that says we're going to follow the law. Is that what you're telling us? And your policy says you will follow the law.
We have to have a policy, so yes.
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve staff recommendation?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0. We move on now to item 27A. Voting for trustee members by trustee area. We do have a blue card. Is someone, are you speaking before a discussion, Superintendent? Thank you. Ms. Kutnick?
Uh,
Good evening, Dr. Mahler and trustees. Thank you for putting this item on the agenda tonight. I just wanted to take a brief moment and update you on the status of this. I was one of three petitioners and about 30 parents that gathered signatures on the second half of June. And on July 1st, we delivered just under 1,200 signatures to the Orange County Department of Education. They took those petitions with the signatures to the Registrar of Voters for verification of those signatures, and at this point, we are still awaiting the outcome of that. We do need 750 valid signatures, but because we have almost 1,200, we are very hopeful that we will have the required amount to move the item forward to the County Committee on Organization. We are also hoping that you as a board will support this item and going forward and also put a resolution to the County Committee, although that is not mandatory because we have already submitted the petitions. After the signatures have been verified, we will get more details about when the meeting would be with the county and what the next step is. Our goal is to have this issue before the voters in the June 2010 primary election, because it is ultimately the voters who will be deciding whether or not this is a good idea. That being said, there have been a couple of topics that have come up for discussion that I would just like to briefly address here tonight. One of those is that this cannot go forward or should not go forward unless we adjust the actual trustee boundary areas. And I do fully agree that the trustee boundary areas do need to be addressed on a regular basis, as they have in the past, every 5 to 10 years or so, and will continue to need to be addressed as we go forward, especially once Rancho Mission Viejo is built, because it will be growing. But that has nothing to do with voting by trustee area. Voting by trustee area is what you would be doing regardless of where those boundaries are. And after the 2010 census, I do think that those things need to be adjusted, but that is something the board does. It is not something that goes to the voters, and I don't think that we need to confuse any issues. We need to stick with just the one issue and let voters decide if they want to vote at large or by trustee area. The other issue that's been brought up is a very legitimate concern that if we change the way of voting to trustees by the trustee area, that trustees will only care about their own area. And I disagree. I think each of the seven trustees need to care about the entire school district, because in many, many cases, students within their area might possibly be attending schools in a different trustee area, and anyone who's elected to the school board needs to look at our school district as a whole. And this is exactly why the trustees will need to think globally and in the best interest of all children. And it's also why having trustee areas overlap city boundaries is a good idea, so that there is no sense of fiefdom or we only care about our own area. Any trustee, whether it's the seven of you or anyone that comes in the future, needs to think about all of CUSD, and they need to look at the big picture and make the best decisions. That's what we're hoping to accomplish by changing this. I look forward to your comments and thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments by board members? Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Thank you very much, Madam President. As you may be aware, I've been very supportive of going to elections by trustee area. However, I have a couple of concerns. I'd like to point out that they've actually been addressed in the staff report, so it's an excellent job on the staff report. I'm very weary of putting the future of this district in the hands of the special committee that's at the Orange County Department of Education, given the composition of that committee and that two members of that committee left this board under somewhat, I'm sure that they would agree, or less than favorable circumstances. Also, as far as the issue goes of placing this on the ballot on the June 2010 election, staff report I think is very clear on this, that could end up costing our district $300,000 to $500,000 in order to place it on the June ballot, given that there are no CUSD elections that particular cycle. I believe that everyone would agree the district is not in a position to spend $500,000 on this measure in June, when it could just as easily spend roughly $8,000 to place it on the November 2010 election, so that these elections by trustee areas would then take effect in the 2012 election cycle. That being the case, I would like to move to go ahead and go forward in placing our our elections by trustee area on the November 2010 ballot.
Okay.
Trustee Winston.
Thank you. I, too, am very interested in looking very seriously and in depth at this issue, and I think that it requires some study because there's some serious risk, I think, of the law of unintended consequences playing out here with all good intentions. The proposal to bring this forward has generated some email traffic to us, and certainly one caught my eye, which raised the issue that a constituent's family resides in Trustee Christensen's trustee area, and for the bulk of the kids' schooling, will be attending schools in Trustee Palazzo's area, I believe, and then also in Trustee Adonisio's area. So for the bulk of the time that this family has its children in our schools, they would effectively have no representation because they wouldn't be voting for anybody who's got some direct oversight responsibility for their children's schools, which is what I mean by the law of unintended consequences. Instead of increasing direct representation and representative democracy, there's a chance that for some people will actually decrease it. I brought this up with Julie Hatchell, who confirmed for me that yes, that it could certainly be a correct scenario, and that neighborhood is certainly not the only neighborhood which is affected that way. Due to the 2005 boundary adjustments, there could be many because they were not made without with any regard to alignment. Feeder patterns were not made without with regard to alignment with trustee areas because it wasn't an issue at that time. I think it is something that needs to be studied. I believe our superintendent has done some digging, and it would cost initially a few thousand dollars to hire a demographer to start studying these things. Is that what you were told?
Thank you. It's a little more complex than that. We have two separate issues. One is the issue of boundaries, which can be handled through demographers, which is necessary to be within the law of representation. And we would have to establish parameters for the demographers so that they could present the data in a variety of ways. We have a 2010 census, which the results will be made known in 2011. We don't know when in 2011. And we would need to revise the boundaries at that time, according to the census. All districts will have to that have trustee area voting will have to be revising their boundaries after the 2010 census. The cost of the demographer is much greater to do the initial study. It's minor after that, and the demographics change. So the boundaries are one issue. The other consideration, which is you can choose to mingle with the boundaries or choose not to mingle with the boundaries, is the concept of the alternative method of voting for trustees or electing trustees. So you can address, you basically have a choice. You can address the election of trustees as one issue, and you can address your boundaries as another issue, and you can move in a parallel fashion, doing both but separate from each other. It is a quicker process to do the boundaries. than it is to do the election. Elections are not always necessary if there is agreement among parties and a waiver is established with the state. So it can be anything from a cost of $10,000 or less for this election issue up to six, whatever the last June election, which was $600,000+. Does that help?
It does. I know it gets much more complicated than that. Trustee Mannix, I think I want to second your motion, but would you repeat it? Okay, that's fine. In general, I'm very supportive of the idea and the concept, and I think that there...
Wait, we need a second to the motion for the discussion.
Then can I have it repeated?
We have the motion. Wait a minute, Mr. Lopez Mannix.
Go ahead and approve it with the understanding that it would be on the November 2010 ballot.
That's correct. Which would have the incremental cost to the district of $10,000, not $500,000. I'll second that motion.
June?
He wanted it to November, not the June.
Great. I'll second.
Trustee Pilott, Bryson, were you finished, Trustee Winston, with your comments?
Yes.
Trustee Bryson. Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I would like to say that I'm not sure how this is going to turn out because I'm still very much in thoughtful research mode, reading my emails, listening to my fellow trustees. I also would like to commend the people who gathered the signatures, Aaron, and your, all of the other gentlemen involved, because at heart, what you're trying to do is what you feel is best for this district. There are many ways to get to that goal, and I'm not sure how this particular road is going to end up, but I know whenever people, parents, take time out of their lives to gather signatures, to do what they feel is best, one way or the other, this is a wonderful sign of a participating republic and the right of local government to have its say. And no matter what, I have to commend you for the time and energy you took, however it may end up, which I have no clue at this time. But I really feel there's so many ramifications, I know, that I'm going to be doing a lot of reading, a lot of talking to people, and everything I can so that I know the direction that I think I need to vote for as we move down this road. But I am appreciative. I'm appreciative of your time, and I'm appreciative of your thoughtfulness, and also of the very respectful way that you came forward. I thank you for that. We need a whole lot more respect for one another here. We're all in this together. We're going to find the solution together. And the ultimate goal is always that the children have the best representation and what's in their best interest.
Trustee Palazzo?
I'm not going to be ready to vote on for a resolution on this tonight, which is not to say that in the future I'm not going to vote for the resolution. But tonight I'm still feeling... with Trustee Bryson that I need more information. I want to see the entire picture, and I'm not willing to say I'm going to do something, I'm going to vote on something for November 11th or November of 2010 tonight. That isn't to say that I won't in the future. I still have my concerns that I expressed to the county when I spoke in front of them in March of 2004 when the former board proposed the current trustee boundaries, and that is that there are, the city of San Juan Capistrano has four different trustees, represents the city of San Juan Capistrano, and that
that's why I want to see these. The boundary issue is very important to me, because I did speak about it in November of 2004, expressing the concern that four trustees can reside in the city of San Juan Capistrano, and that gives them control of the board. As in essence, the city of San Juan Capistrano could control the board with the four votes, depending. And that was a concern I had in 2004, and it is still a concern that I have today.
Trustee Christensen?
I like the proposal as far as moving it to the November election, because it saves $500,000 possibly for CUSD, which makes a lot of sense. And this is something I actually talked about when I was running for this school board. But at this point, I would not feel comfortable in voting one way or the other, just because there are a lot of questions that I'd like to resolve to find out whether or not it should go this way or not. I'm just on the fence, and I do like the proposal that's out there for the November election. I'm not comfortable in voting for a specific change at this point.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Perhaps we could have staff again elaborate a bit on the fact that these are two separate questions with respect to the district boundaries or the trustee area boundaries. It's a separate question from the issue of electing the trustees at large, by district as opposed to at large.
There are two separate processes. If the board wants to address both together, that's the board's prerogative. But it would probably be a lot easier and cleaner to address the two processes separately. As I said, the boundary issue is one which would be determined by the board and demographers. That is not something that is a part of an election. So what we're looking at is timing. The process of having an alternative method of electing trustees by area can be done in several ways. A petition has already been submitted. That is one of the ways, by the public. We do have an approximation of the date that the county committee will be considering this process, considering the topic, and that will be in September. And we were given three possible dates. The first date is September 9th, the next date is, I think, the week after, and the next date is the week after that. The 23rd and 30th. So it's not, they skip a week in there. A second way would be for this board to submit their own resolution. And I do want to say that the way this item is currently written, it suggests that we are going to vote on an action. We're going to have action tonight on a resolution, but we don't have a resolution. We have not created one. I believe that this item was submitted from May before I was here. The third way is to ask the state for a waiver of having to pay for any election. And that would be considered a cooperative, collaborative way of determining the issue. Does that help?
It does. And if I might, Madam President, just kind of follow up on a couple of lines of thought there. One, I wouldn't hold my breath on waiver to pay. There's a cost associated with everything, and if it's our idea, we're going to get stuck with the bill. On the other part of that...
It's not a waiver to pay. It's a waiver by the state to go ahead with a plan.
Okay, I must have misunderstood you then.
Without the election.
The issue, in order, so if we were to wanting to move forward with this in the least expensive, cleanest way possible, we would have to move the issue of redistricting following the 2010 census to be acted on in conjunction with the issue of how the trustees are elected. So that would push us to the 2012 election if we were waiting for the census to be done. In order to do it, to have the census, which would make it easier for the demographer to do the lines, we would then be pushing it past the 2010 census.
That's not what I'm particularly saying, no. I can call a demographer tomorrow.
No, to make it the least expensive way possible, you're following the 2010
census. The demographer costs, you can defer your costs by putting it into the future, but your demographer costs are the heaviest part of your demographer costs are in the original part of the study. It is a minor cost that all districts go through once the original study is done to have the areas by trustees. Then depending on where the district grows, how it grows, if it grows, when it grows, the demographer will have to do some nips and tucks after the 2010 census.
Okay. Well, I'd also pose this question then to my colleagues on the board is whether or not, I understand their reservations, I appreciate those reservations, and the fact that they want to engage in thoughtful deliberation on this matter. I would also ask them, though, to consider whether or not they wanted to place the future of this district and the means of the trustee elections in the hands of the Orange County Department of Education. What's it called? The Orange County Committee on School Reorganization, something like that. It's about the only thing I've seen that doesn't have an acronym attached to it coming out of the county department event. But that being the case, I'm not comfortable going forward and placing the future of this district in their hands, especially in light of the composition of that committee.
Mr. Maddox, Lopez Maddox, what I want to say is the county is going to be addressing this issue anyway. The county, if there are enough signatures on this petition, the county will be addressing the issue.
No, I certainly appreciate that point, Madam Superintendent. The point I think I was trying to make is that if we have already taken action, it takes quite a bit of the wind out of their sails in moving forward with it. For them to go ahead, once we've taken action on this matter, to usurp our authority and move forward with a separate plan, different than the one that this board were to move forward with, would be an egregious act of power.
If I could interject, I do understand your points, and I actually agree with basically everyone here. I like the idea of the voting by areas. I understand the reason for the motion, and I could, since this is the first time, I would like to be able to vote on this, but if we could wait one more meeting or so and give our superintendent a chance to flesh out and look and work through some of the numbers and be able to present to us a little bit more detailed information so that we could discuss further. I'm not suggesting that it be put off for 5 months or even until September, Trustee Lopez Maddox, just a little bit of time for us. It has come across rather quickly. The questions are coming now from the trustees and some of the constituents. We know what's going on here, and this would give our superintendent a chance to do a more thorough write-up for us. And that's my comment on that.
Madam Trustee Bryson.
Yes, Madam President. The more that I hear the discussion, and of course I read the documents that we have, but there are new things that are brought out from our superintendent's experience and expertise being in this business for you know, a long period of time, she has been through a great deal of these issues. And I still don't feel that I'm up to speed on the ramification of all the different aspects of it. And I'm very concerned if it comes, you know, if it is postponed this evening, if it comes to a vote on the 28th, when I will be flying and unable to express my opinion on something that is profoundly important to everyone. And that has me very, very concerned. Number one, I need more study time, personally, because I don't think it, I certainly will tell you that I don't feel I have a grasp on it. I have met the census people, and actually they volunteered to come and make a presentation here, which I would like to contact them, if I may, and get them in touch with you, Superintendent Mahler, because I think it would behoove everyone to hear the census presentation and how they go about it and what that would mean. But beyond that, I again gently must say that I am very unhappy at the thought that I would not be here if this is carried on further. And also, I have a question: should this motion be split in two as A, boundary, B, you know, two different questions here? It just seems an awful lot of information has to be digested on one overarching issue that's going to be a huge issue.
Trustee Winston?
I'm okay voting on it tonight. I'm okay voting on it in the August meeting. I think either time we vote on it, yes, every trustee should be here. I think if I heard what staff and our constituents are saying, petition, if it's approved, will be heard at a public hearing in September. So we can still act on it in advance of that if we act in August.
Yes.
Okay. I think the lowest cost way of doing this, what I'm hearing, is to have us vote to put it on the November 2010 ballot. However, those who are delegated by law and our constituents may have a different idea, and you know, they'll get to decide if they want to spend the $500,000. But I think, as far as us as a board acting, I'm comfortable moving it to August. We can gather more information. When we did discuss this, I think back in April, in response to Mrs. Kutnick's original request, we had asked for a lot of information to be gathered. I know some of it has. I don't think all of it has made it to us yet. I'd like to know, and if Ms. Suanaka can relay this to Ms. Hatchell or Ms. Bowes, can relay to Ms. Hatchell, the pros and cons of voting by trustee area. This memo had a good list of the pros. I'd like to know what are the cons. I think I mentioned one. I'd like to know the pros and cons of voting by trustee area at large, the way we currently do. Then there's a third option, which is what some school districts do, which is at large altogether. I don't think I like that one, but if we're going to study it, let's hear the pros and cons of that one too, if there are any. There's another twist to all of this, which I don't think anybody's mentioned, is I don't know if we're required by law to have seven seats. Many school districts have five.
I think that the larger the district, just like LA, has 11 in order to get representation. It's a seven person. I am not positive,
right,
but I will look into that.
So I don't know if the five is an option. I don't even know if it makes sense. But while we're looking at combinations and permutations, something to think about.
You can
because
look at anything you want.
The feeder patterns might actually work better with five than with seven. If we're going to try to align trustee areas with elementary school, middle school, high school feeder patterns, I don't know, but they might. And then there's another issue here, and that's the California Voting Rights Act and compliance with that, which right now we're probably not in compliance with that, just no one's raised the issue, which is the law that requires fair representation. And after the boundaries were changed in 05, that's when this should have been looked at. I don't think it was, but I think that's something that needs to be studied. So anyway, I would still be comfortable deferring this vote till August, but Trustee Mannix would have to withdraw his motion first. But in any event, I think what makes sense is we put this on the ballot for the fall of 2010. The census comes in 2011. The demographers do their thing, and whatever our new program is, it's in effect for the 2012 trustee elections, if the voters decide that's what they want to do.
I'll go ahead and withdraw my motion to allow for a substitute motion.
I'll withdraw my second.
Okay. Motion's withdrawn. Any other comments? So we are giving direction to our... Do we have to vote on withdrawing that motion? No. Okay. So we're giving you direction.
The direction that I would like to have is if the trustees could please send me their questions in writing, and then I'll know what to research.
Thank you. Done. Were you finished speaking, Trustee Winston?
Yes.
Thank you. Item number 28, citizen request, Mr. Sarver on CFD 98-1 Melo Roos.
Good evening. My name is Mark Sarver. I'm here representing the homeowners of the community of Pacifica San Juan. We're in the Melo Roos issue, and I'd like to go ahead and defer my time to a newly retained attorney for our community, Robert DiNicolo. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Robert DiNicolo. I'm a corporate counsel for the Pacifica San Juan Community Association. I've been asked by the residents of Pacifica San Juan to address you this evening, and I thank you for your time and attention. First, let me address the question of why are we here. Pacifica San Juan comprises Community Facilities District 98-1 of the Capistrano Unified School District. When the district was originally formed, the economy was in a very different state than it is in today. It was an era we now recognize as the housing bubble, where demand far outstripped supply. At the time, Pacifica San Juan was envisioned to be a community of over 400 homes. It was anticipated that such a community would have a large and real impact on the city, and in particular the school district and the services it provides its residents. That was the environment where the rate of special tax to be levied was calculated, an environment where it was envisioned that a $20 million bond would be required to offset the impact of Pacifica San Juan on the school district, a number that was later revised to a $45 million bond. However, as we all know, we're in a very different situation today. Rather than a community of over 400 homes, Pacifica San Juan and is today and for the foreseeable future is comprised of only 61 homes, and only 54 of which have been sold and have families living in them. Of these 54 homes, there are only 10 children attending schools within the Capistrano Unified School District. Clearly, this is a very different level of impact on the district than was anticipated when the CFD was formed. No one at that time would have envisioned that it would take over $26,000 per student per year that the residents have been taxed, or the $46,000 per student per year that I understand is being proposed, to offset the impact of the 10 children from the Pacifica San Juan on the Capistrano Unified School District. Despite the change in circumstances from what was anticipated at the time the rate of special tax was determined, there has been no review of the real impact of the Pacifica San Juan community on the Capistrano Unified School District. I can tell you one impact is that there has not been any need for any bonds to be issued or for any other property to be levied other than the homeowner property. In fact, there is, until there is a significant change in circumstances, it is unlikely any bonds will be issued. Further, once things do change and development begins again, it is highly likely that any new developer will seek to change or eliminate the CFD, as the current rate of special tax negatively impacts on the marketability of the property. It is my understanding that this may already be impacting other communities in the district. We are in a unique situation here in that no bonds have been issued for the CFD. The board is not hamstrung with debt that must be repaid by by the special tax. Rather, pursuant to Government Code Section 53330.5, this board has the authority and power to reduce the rate of special tax currently being leveled on the properties in Pacifica San Juan. My understanding is that this has been done without the other districts where development has come to a halt, as has happened in Pacifica San Juan. The residents of Pacifica San Juan would like to work collaboratively with the board to lower the rate of special tax on the CFD, with flexibility that may be required as circumstances change and development resumes. In light of this, pursuant to Government Code Section 53332, the residents will be filing petitions requesting that the board adopt a resolution reducing the rate of special tax on Pacifica San Juan, and we look forward to working with you on this issue in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments, Trustee Christensen?
I'm actually surprised that this has not been brought before us as an action item. This is something that's been coming to us every board meeting for the last couple months, and it needs to come before us as an action item. It's amazing that, from what I understand, that developer fees weren't paid prior to CUSD actually issuing a certificate of occupancy to these homes, which is a fault of the past, and just again for not having a department that's fully has expertise in it. I just would like to see this move forward so that we can make a decision on this, and I think we're causing an onerous problem with these families here.
Trustee Winston?
Mr. Tarver, you and your neighbors have certainly brought a compelling issue to us, and I think you're advocating very well for yourselves. I have one question after reading all the information you've provided and staff has provided that either I've missed or it's not clearly stated, and that's, what is your Melrose rate or parcel rate per residence? Is it in line with what everyone else who's in the Melrose district in this area is paying, or for some reason, because everybody involved in the chain of production has gone belly up, you're bearing an increased burden?
Yeah, it's essentially a flat rate per home size, essentially it's being charged. But one of the things that is interesting is the undeveloped property is also supposed to be being charged through the resolutions and how they are. And the district readily recognizes they're not going to be charging the developer since the developer is now bankrupt. And Trustee Christensen brings up a good point, which is the developer fees were never paid up front in these things, and it will be interesting to look into the certificate of occupancies to see how those were issued and by whom.
So you're not being asked now or in the future to pony up for the undeveloped lots, are you?
It was specifically mentioned in the response we received back from the district as to why they were not willing to look at an abatement or a reduction in our taxes. Item number one on that letter back to us simply stated that the developer fees were never paid, therefore that's part of, you know, what they're looking to recover through these fees that are being imposed on the residents that are left.
Okay, but separate apart from that, okay, if you're paying, like everybody else, 1.1% for the normal county taxes,
right,
what's the increment you're paying as a result of this CFD?
As a community?
No, per homeowner.
Per homeowner, it averages out to about $8,000.
Okay, so it's another 0.6 or 7%?
I don't know the math, so.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so that's something you need to address in your petition is, and I understand it probably really stinks to live in a community that's never been finished. I grant you that. I'm sure it's
right,
disturbing beyond belief. But the kids who live there are going to school somewhere, and you're paying your pro rata share of all the property taxes we get the joy of paying. So I think you're going to need to address why you deserve relief from something everybody else is paying, because right now I don't get it. I think I was looking for something in the bond or the indenture or something where you were getting increases that were carrying the burden of Lehman or SunCal or John Lang, And if that's not the case, then you need to explain your case better.
Sure. And I think primarily the issue is the taxes were supposed to be going towards the issuing of bonds. And our community, I can understand your point if we were a community that was unfinished. We're a community that was never started. We have some homeowners that sort of walked into this community in the very early stages, and the entire community fell apart. I mean, it's sidewalks aren't finished. The streets aren't capped. There's hundreds of lots that are simply just dirt, construction fences. There's abandoned construction materials there. This is not your typical scenario where we're a semi-finished community. We truly were a community that never was started.
Where is the money going to right now?
What we've been told so far, and there's $433,000 essentially that we've paid as homeowners already. Last I knew, those monies were sitting in an account in U.S. Bank, and what I've been now told is those monies have been designated for street improvements going up to, I think it's Avenue de La Plata, going up to the new high school.
Is it a bank account held by the school district?
Yeah, this is my understanding, yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Kerry Brockman is the one that would have the details on it.
Okay. Maybe you could explain on that, Mr. Brockman.
That is actually incorrect. The money is not earmarked for street improvements on La Plata. The money is sitting in accounts currently with the school district and is available for future improvements at San Juan Hills High School. The street improvements that were discussed just a moment ago have already been paid for.
Okay. There's one issue that you and your attorney need to confront, which is, you know, why you should be relieved from paying your equal share if that's, I mean, it's as a matter of contract, you bought the property, you knew that was the deal, and the deal's the deal. But, and you don't need to do that tonight, but when you submit your petition, that's something I'll be looking for.
Sure.
The other issue is, okay, deal's a deal, and you didn't get your CFD, and I don't know what else that CFD was supposed to be paying for in the way some of these other improvements. What are you not getting out of that deal? Because what I hear so far is, you do have some children. People bought the properties whether they had kids or not, knowing there was going to be a Miller Roost tax. And believe me, I would never buy another property in the Miller Roost district myself, so I'm not trying to defend that. But the kids are being serviced by the school district, so you need to tell us what it is that the CFD should have provided that isn't being provided if you're going to ask us to seriously consider some relief, because it's a tough question you're putting in front of us, because there is this gatekeeper threshold question that, you know, if we do it for you, why won't everybody else, including my own CFD, come forward and say, hey, it's too much? But I think you're right. Your case may be more unique in the far extreme of the facts than anybody else is experiencing right now.
May I comment on that?
Sure.
The issue you raised as to why another community or another CFD may not come in and ask for a reduction is we're in a unique situation here in that the bonds have not been issued. Because once that debt's incurred, the district is required to pay off that debt. Here we do not have a bond that has been issued, and there's no debt that has to be serviced. I don't know what the other communities are in that situation or not. I doubt it. Typically the bonds are issued fairly quickly is my understanding. On the issue as to why other communities may not come forward, they may not have that option is the question.
I don't know if you know the answer, but Mr. Brockman, when wondering if we get this presented back to us, can you have somebody look into it, or can you look into it and find out why the bonds weren't issued?
Well, there simply is not enough homes built up on the hill to issue bonds.
Well,
there are 416 approvals, and I think 63 permits have been pulled.
Okay. And under the bond instrument, what threshold needed to be reached?
I can actually have our tax consultant come up and help me with that question. She's here tonight, if that's okay.
Sure.
This is Andrea Ress. She works for David Tausig and Associates.
Good evening. My recollection is there were negotiations between the district staff and the developer, SunCal. Quite a while ago, I may not recall the exact thresholds, but there were discussions. There was concern about SunCal and their ability to pay the taxes. And so the district staff wanted to wait until a certain number of homes had, one, been sold to builders and, two, had been sold to homeowners. In today's market, bonds are only being sold on districts that are 100% or 95% built out. You can't sell a bond today on raw land.
I'll wrap this up real quick, but in my very superficial knowledge level about how these things work, isn't there a resolution the school district had to pass to create a CFD, and then some underwriter wrote a bond instrument and the school district...
We never got that far. The district formed the CFD.
Okay, if it never got that far, then shouldn't these homeowners have been treated as if there was no CFD and just have to pay the regular school fees that a non-CFD...
There was a mitigation agreement, and again, I'm not the lawyer, but there was a mitigation agreement between the district and the developer that says you're in the CFD, we will not require you to pay school fees, we will get our money from the bond issue.
But I would like to add, if I could, there was a clause in that agreement that allowed for a special tax.
Yes, yes.
That is what they've been paying on for the last year, the special tax assessment.
Aha. Okay.
Let me...
So, Council, you're going to need to address all this, because you're going to get a lot of questions back, obviously. And I assure you, I'm going to argue for, and I think this board will do the right thing, but there's a lot of sides to this issue. And if you get relief from one thing, there's nothing, as Mr. Maddox said, there's a cost to everything. So what I'm hearing is you're not paying CFD taxes, but you're paying a special assessment tax. And you'll have to explain why that's not fair. I'm done.
Trustee Bryson? I've been very quiet because I represented the treasurer and do represent the treasurer on Mellow Roos issues, which I thank you, Andrea. We have worked together before when I was doing research on Rancho Santa Margarita at the request of the homeowners there as to why, after they have paid everything that they believed their Mellow Roos was supposed to pay for, they continued to receive Mellow Roos and, in fact, legally could not disengage from the Mellow Roos tax. And that is because there is a deep legal and legislative entanglement. When the two people in the California legislature, Mello and Roos, were two men who enacted this difficult means of gathering taxes in areas, they put it together in such a way that once it's engaged, only the city, school district, or the presiding entity over the original presentation of the Mello-Roos discussion and signed agreement can alter it, end it, or change it. There are other legal people that can put that in much more complete detail, but I will tell you, in the investigation I personally did for the treasurer, and Ms. Tozick was part of that, in responding to the residents on behalf of the Orange County Treasurer Tax Collector in Rancho Santa Margarita, we had to inform them that only the city had the legal authority to disengage them, in which case I am unfamiliar at this time of anyone in this county ever being able to disengage, because city planners and others project their budgets based on that income taxation, which they control. So this is a very difficult issue because it's probably been a part of a forward budget. Is that not correct, Carrie?
Yes, that is correct.
And therefore, legally, I am just here with my other hat to alert you that that is a... I am unfamiliar with any disengagement of that issue due to the strictures of the agreement.
Any other comments? Trustees, thank you for coming forward this evening.
Thank you.
Take care. That concludes our open session. Open session is, we are recessed to closed session for further discussions. Thank you very much.